homelessness is often seen as a big city problem, but rural and small town communities around the state also deal with homelessness.
Community groups in rural Wisconsin work to provide services to people who don't have stable housing, but limited resources can be stretched thin, and it can be hard to connect people with the services that are there.
A Western Wisconsin community pulled together to tackle those problems with a new family shelter in Monroe County. The Family Promise of the Great Rivers offers food, clothing, life skills, and community to families in need.
Their new shelter in Sparta opened late last month. They're already working to expand it. Jesse Todd is executive director of the Family Promise of the Great Rivers. Jesse, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I want to start kind of big picture, Jesse. I think when people think homelessness, right, they picture a big city. Can you talk about homelessness in rural parts of the state, in your part of the state?
Yeah, so I mean, it's just as common. It's just as big a problem. We see it present itself a little bit differently. We don't see as many people on the streets, those kind of things, especially with the no camping bans lately. But we see more people doubled up in certain areas. We see them in smaller towns, maybe in their vehicles or kind of away from the mainstream flow of traffic. They'll park on side streets and on back roads overnight to sleep, but it's definitely there.
Who are the families in your community who are maybe riding that line? They're on the verge of being homeless, or they are sometimes homeless, sometimes housed?
The population we generally serve is probably about the families mid-20s to mid to late 30s is real common as far as an age demographic. But all of them have one thing in common. I mean, they have average jobs or more of a common pay. It puts them into a category where they're paycheck to paycheck. One upsetting factor could cause them to become homeless.
And I've heard that phrase, ALICE, which is an acronym. I don't remember what it all stands for, but it is that idea you're talking about, of the person who has a job, doesn't pay a lot, one problem puts them in serious financial difficulty. Can you tell us more about that concept of that ALICE category and what you see in your community?
Yeah, I was trying to keep the jargon out of it and you brought it up, but ALICE stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. So these are people that are working. I mean, they're trying, they're making a conscious effort, but because of their limitations on their own assets and their daily income or monthly income, it puts them into a situation where they can't meet what it takes for a living wage. They're falling short each month by no fault of their own. It's just economy versus wage.
And I wanted to dig into that because, again, I think a conception of homelessness is these are people who are unemployed and long-term unemployed. That is not what you're necessarily seeing in the communities you serve, right?
No. I mean, we certainly do have those difficulties. We see, some people with disabilities and those kind of things that have other barriers that do make it difficult, but a good two-thirds of the families we serve are employed and do have some sort of income.
You mentioned what rural homelessness looks like. It might be that person living in a car. It might be somebody alternating between the car and couch surfing or something. Does that make it a challenge to count how many people are homeless in your communities and to provide outreach and services to them?
Yeah, it's always a challenge to get a good, accurate number. Nationwide, they do a housing and urban development, does a pick count twice a year where agencies go out and count them. And that's always a difficult number to get. They just don't want to be found. They're worried about being hassled or being kicked out because of a no camping ban. But as far as reaching them in a rural area, sometimes it's even more difficult. We have our cities spread out such a broad landscape, and it's hard to get transportation is one of the biggest barriers, hard to get into the bigger city or the, county city to receive those services.
We're going to get into the kind of services you provide at Family Promise, but how do you reach out to people? That person who is in that car in a secluded location so they don't get caught sleeping in their car, how do you reach them to even let them know that, hey, you exist, that there's some kind of help out there?
So, yeah, I mean, we broadcast ourselves as much as we can, make ourselves known. everything from churches to other service agencies, health departments. We have our materials everywhere. We work a lot on referrals. If one department gets someone that applies that maybe they can't help, doesn't fit their scope, they know where to refer to. So we work a lot collaboratively, I guess, to kind of catch everybody in this big net. But we also have other efforts where we had our total navigation team meeting, which is multiple agencies getting together in one spot for a couple hours and just being available for walk-in triage. So no matter what you're facing, somebody in there is hopefully going to cover that scope.
We're talking to Jesse Todd, Executive Director of the Family Promise of the Great Rivers. They're in Western Wisconsin. They work on homelessness there. Jesse, one of your newest parts of your efforts are this new shelter. Can you tell us about the project and what it took to make it a reality?
Yeah, so there was a lot of proof of concept that went into it. You know, Family Promise has been around nationally for some time, so that's not new. Almost 40 years to be exact. And we started with a rotational shelter in 2019 where families would come in and stay 1 week at each church location. They'd be served by volunteers. During the day, they would leave that location, come to our day center, receive case management resources, and go back in the evening again for dinner and a place to sleep at night. The logistics of that are very, very difficult. It takes a lot of time to organize volunteers, and it's a lot of transportation in a rural community. But we were able to show that we were having a big enough impact. We were serving enough families that we got the support in our community. One of the great leaders of our community, Todd Torkelson, I guess our influencers, was happy to work with us and help us get this location. It was previously his location, and helped us get it off the ground. And then after that, it's just it's a lot of momentum. I mean, it's a community effort. It's outreach into local government and to other agencies, congregational spaces, community clubs, those kind of things, anybody we can get to kind of help push the effort and fund what we're trying to achieve.
What does having this shelter space now mean for, say, that there's a parent and kid who otherwise might be sleeping in their car on a cold night? What does this shelter mean for them?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously it's warmth and security and some certainty, a place to stay. But even more so, it's a place to start focusing on rehabilitation, on getting back into an affordable, sustainable living situation. So instead of that night-to-night and that day-to-day worry and that trauma they're going through, they can take a breath and start taking those steps. Our goal is always to get to housing first. People recover and succeed the most when they don't have to worry about their housing. Of course, the housing market's not always easy to get to housing first, but just that stability is huge.
Yeah, you don't want repeat customers. You're hoping to find a transition to permanent housing. What kind of things do you do there at the shelter with the rest of your organization and those partners you mentioned to try to help make sure that that person, that family, ends up in a more stable space?
Yeah, so we work across the board with all kinds of different people, WTC, college, those kind of things. We have people that want to better their employment. We maybe help them with their resume, help them, present themselves in a better way and get better opportunities. But if they have educational goals they want to complete, those kind of things, we may help them find scholarships, find opportunities to be able to do what they wanted to do to get where they want to be. But all of that, and a big part of it is healthcare. 2/3 of the families we work with do have pretty specific healthcare needs that would become barriers to anybody's stable living. So we find them referrals for that, whether it's behavioral health, physical health, chronic illness, whatever it is. And we just kind of help them get that all buttoned up and just get a routine to a more structured situation.
Now, getting back to the shelter, this is the result of an ongoing campaign. You mentioned reaching out, getting that community support. What's next? I assume you're not done building that support and planning for the future.
No, not at all. It's very grassroots. It's not like we get a million-dollar capacity grant just to build where we want to be. You know, this is something that we raise a little at a time. Right now, we can house one family. When that family moves out, we can get a new one in. We are literally about $20,000 away from being able to finish our security and dividing up the space a little bit of renovation so we can house up to three families. Then again, you know, it'll be another chunk of money. We haven't really looked at the numbers. It should be around 50,000, but then we'll be able to get two more dormitories for families. So in all, our goal is to get up to five families in our current location.
Jesse, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
Jesse Todd is executive director of the Family Promise of the Great Rivers. The Sparta-based organization just opened a family homeless shelter.